So yes, happy Father's Day to everyone today. Fathers, we thank you for every encouraging word to your family and every prayer that you say on their behalf, every way that you serve them, and every dad joke that you tell. Thank you. And on this Father's Day, let joy be yours, and may God remind you often of the blessing you are. Happy Father's Day. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 20. This is the last major passage in Ephesians, but we will next week look at the very end of Ephesians, and we'll wrap some things up, bring some things together. And then after that, we'll do not real long series, but a topical one, but one where we're looking at kind of how to understand the big story of Scripture, and I'm calling that God's heart for the world. Okay, so I'll say more about that when we get to that. But today, Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. The words come as a wake-up call, calling us to realize the circumstances in which we live. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. The real conflict is with the rulers, the authorities, the cosmic powers over this present darkness, the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. And all of a sudden, we find ourselves on a battlefield, one that is not a grassy plain somewhere, but rather a battlefield that stretches across the breadth of the universe, because this is of ultimate scope. Let's be clear, rulers and authorities are not Roman emperors. They are not presidents or judges or police. They are spiritual powers that are at work. There's a thing that's happened many times in history where a person could step out and survey a farmer's land and see green meadows where cattle are grazing, and a garden near the house, and a field of alfalfa, and it is peaceful and pastoral. But armies are on the march, and they eventually come together at this place, and they fight a mighty battle, and they leave it scarred and torn up, and the alfalfa is gone, and the cattle are gone, and the farmhouse is demolished. Such things have happened too many times, actually, across human history, through centuries. We thought that this was a peaceful, bucolic setting, but one day people find themselves there, and it's been turned into a battlefield. And so it is with us. Don't be fooled, Ephesians is saying. Whatever life looks like, there is war going on. So put on the whole armor of God. Stand fast, having fastened on the belt of truth. Not just meaning that we care about true statements, that Jesus is the Messiah and that he died and that he was raised, that we are clear about what we believe. No, but also truth about our own selves and about the reality of sin in our lives. And having put on the breastplate of righteousness, the righteousness that is only found in Jesus Christ, a righteousness that is renewed in our lives by the work of the Holy Spirit who is forming us to be righteous people. Put on all the armor because this is battle. And as Ephesians draws a picture for us, it just gives us this high voltage wake up to where we are. And yet, this high stakes battle takes place in very ordinary life. Every day. So, in the news this past week, there was some discussion about the U.S. women's soccer team, some criticism for them as they stomped all over Thailand at the World Cup, 13-0, which few people noted that sounds like a football score, but no, in this case it was actually a soccer score. 13-0, and so the criticism was that they celebrated a little too much, weren't very sympathetic to Thailand. And I don't know, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. I'm sympathetic to their situation because in a situation like that, these players have geared up over years for this one event. Everything is directed towards performing well. And so there's this anticipation and all this building energy that bursts out when it finally comes to that first game. And it is a reminder that very rarely is spiritual warfare like that. Often, we do not get the opportunity to get ready for a specific spiritual conflict that we know when it's going to happen, and so we can summon our resources and gather ourselves. Doesn't work like that. The rulers and authorities and powers are at work in just a little side conversation that I had with someone that seemed innocuous, but I really badmouthed somebody in that conversation, and what do the spiritual powers do with that? Or I'm upset because someone at work really messed up, and it affected me, and when I find out, what is my reaction? Or what about when I stumble on sexually seductive images on a web page, what do I do? Or I'm faced with someone who is trying to belittle me. See, these kinds of things so often will come unannounced, catching us unaware. They are not going to advertise that they will show up at 4:15 tomorrow. Get ready. It doesn't work like that. This is why we need shoes that are the very readiness to speak the gospel of peace. Because Jesus' message of peace is a counter to the destruction of the spiritual forces of evil. Or the shield of faith. Because when the devil shoots his flaming arrows at us, it is faith that God is faithful in all circumstances. That is what quenches the flames. And these are the things that we need as we head out into a world where we don't know when the attacks are coming. But they come amidst ordinary life every day. So if we're going to stand in this battle, it has got to be by prayer. And it's kind of interesting because you have 6 items listed in the armor that is mentioned. And when you have 6, that could wake us up because a really good biblical number is 7. Okay, so you look, hold it. Is there a 7th that we are missing? And you look at it, and what comes right after the 6th item? But, verse 18, praying. Is praying the 7th item of the Christian's equipment? Well, no, actually. Delved into that, and it didn't pan out. I thought it was such a great try, though. No, but more likely, praying is the thing that we do that pervades everything else. That it's like it draws all the pieces of armor together, everything that God has given us for the fight. So when we put on the helmet of salvation, you know, this reminder of the confidence we have that we are saved by the blood of Jesus, that it has claimed us, it is prayer that makes real that confidence because we are calling on the name of God, certain of our salvation. And the sword of the Spirit that is the Word of God, it is the Spirit who is the main minister in the words that we will speak about Jesus. And we turn to the Spirit in prayer. Prayer is the warfare activity above all else. And it's interesting that in the time that Ephesians was written, that prayer was becoming this questionable activity. So that even among pagans, they were really starting to question the point of it. And plays were being performed in theaters where they would make fun of people who would pray to a god thinking that they would get something in return. How gullible can you be? And this is the environment in which Christians were called to prayer. Because prayer reminds us of the very kind of battle we are in. In the 1970s in China, after Mao Zedong, their great leader for a long time, after he died, there was this void of leadership, and a leadership struggle happened, and the one who emerged out of it as the one in control was a little man named Deng Xiaoping, a man who had suffered much under Mao Zedong. And when I became aware of him, there was something that I was so puzzled about with Deng Xiaoping. He had a couple positions. He was a chairman of a significant military committee. And then he was also chairman of, it was a commission or office in the government that had a very specific task. And that was it. Those were all the posts that he held. And I thought, that's just so strange. I mean, if he has the power, why doesn't he make himself president of China? Or why doesn't he make himself premier, which is responsible for managing the government, or a really important position, chairman of the Communist Party? Even that, he didn't take any of those positions. Could have had them, but didn't seem interested in them. Why not? He didn't care about them. And it didn't matter who was in the visible positions, and to a large degree, it didn't matter who got the credit as long as he got his way. As long as what was happening in China was what he wanted to see happen. That's what he cared about. And the rulers and authorities and cosmic powers of darkness, they don't care about getting the credit. They only want to get their way. They don't care about being visible and seen. They just want to make happen what they want to see happen. And so one thing that means is that they are not going to play fair. They will be very sneaky. They hide. And so in some ways then, a battlefield really is an inappropriate image because this is more like guerrilla warfare in the jungle where you can't see the enemy. And the enemy has all kinds of tricks. Will attack you. Will attack when we least expect it. And never know how the enemy is going to attack. But always ready to pounce. And with an enemy like that, you've got to pray. And God calls us to prayer. What have we said? We said that spiritual warfare happens amid regular life all the time and when we don't expect it. And the passage points to the central importance of prayer. So should this be a jolt then? Actually, hasn't this been what Ephesians has been about all along? We saw early on that the first half of Ephesians is soaked in prayer. There is prayer, and there are things said in reference to prayer, and there are things said that set up prayer, and then prayer happens in bold ways. And then in the second half, it's been about paying attention to the regular things that we encounter all the time, like how do we in the church stay unified in Christ? And it's concerned with our moral conduct, okay? How we live morally. And how do we together live our faith as a church? And how do we treat the people in our households? These things, this is part of regular life. And so when we see this, it clicks in. See, what our passage is doing is it's actually bringing all of Ephesians together. It's kind of like the movie Karate Kid, where Daniel's supposed to be learning karate, but it doesn't look like it because he's painting day after day, up and down. And he's waxing cars, wax on, wax off. And finally, Daniel gets frustrated with this. When am I going to learn to karate? And Mr. Miyagi shows him. Doesn't realize it, but he's been getting new muscles. He can begin to defend himself. He is actually starting to do karate. All along, Ephesians has been teaching us about taking on God's armor in defense against the rulers and authorities and powers and forces. Didn't realize it, but we've been doing it the whole time. Put on the armor God has given you and stand, verse 11 says. Don't dream of making great gains against Satan because God is concerned that you stand. Once you've taken up the armor, verse 13 says, you can withstand, and having done all, you will stand firm. And in case we missed it, verse 14 says, stand, therefore. So this is not something where we can imagine making these great gains against Satan. No, what God calls us to do is to stand. That is what he makes possible. By his power, his strength, that we stand. There are lots of implications for us in this. Lots of things we could talk about. And one just has to do with the way that we construct our life together as a church. Okay, so a very ordinary thing that we do is, let's say in a Sunday Bible class or perhaps in a small group gathering, someone will say, is there anything that we need to pray about? And people will have different things to share. That is a good thing to do. Let's continue to do that. And yet, at the same time, it may very well numb us to the reality that Ephesians 6 is trying to communicate. Like, it softens our view of the devil and how he works. Because it may well be that the devil is much more interested in the things that we are not drawing attention to. I will tell you right now, I really, really, really need people's prayers right now. Badly. Why? Something going on with the kids? Are Carrie and Jay okay in their marriage? Are there troubles in the church? I really need prayers because I always badly need prayers. It is the nature of my life and your life. Are there troubles in the church? Yes, all the time. In every church, there are. And yeah, do I have concerns about my kids that I want prayers for? Definitely, constantly. And Carrie and I, in our marriage, we have never had one day in our marriage where we did not need prayer. We have not had one day where we said to ourselves, I think we got this one, God, you can just leave. Never, ever, never. Life is not like that. Ephesians 6 is not speaking about those especially bad situations where we need to gear ourselves up for warfare. It is talking about the lives that we live every single day, even as it says that we have God's assurance that He has equipped us and given us everything that we need so that we can stand. And so, just as an example, toward the beginning of the year, I was preaching from the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6, where Jesus is speaking words about money and wealth and possessions. Talks about, you know, where is it that we lay up our treasure, on earth or in heaven? Talking about the anxiety that we can have about material things in our lives. And there were one or two times in there where we, I offered opportunity for prayers for people, either up front or in the foyer. Just if you have some of these concerns yourself, things that you're wrestling with finances, you know, take advantage of that. But the big mistake that we make is if we in any way begin to think that the people who go back to do that, to seek prayers, that those people are the ones, you know, who really need this, but not for the rest of us. We 100% know that every household in our church struggles with issues of money and possessions. Anxiety when it seems like there's not enough. Questions of how to be good stewards with what God has given us. Learning the generosity that Jesus wants to invite us into. Or just living in a society where we are bombarded with all these materialistic messages. God does not want us to start thinking that these are only occasional issues, because that's just another of Satan's lies. So this leads to a second thing. Paul says to the Ephesians in verse 18, talks to them about making supplication, praying for all the saints, and then verse 19, and also for me. Eugene Peterson, in his book, Practice Resurrection, book about Ephesians, he says about those words, every time we ask someone, pray also for me, the church becomes stronger and more mature. Every time that we communicate to someone, I am not strong enough to handle this on my own and I need divine help, would you pray for me? Every time that happens, the church grows up just a little bit more. And so let's be asking each other for prayers. Not just for special situations, not just for the things that we find urgent, but the things that are ever present in our lives. Our integrity and how we live it out each day. Our trust in Jesus, our self-control, our families and our finances and our friendships. Let's ask. Let's ask each other for prayer. And I'll mention one other thing. 2 weeks from today, on June 30th, Sunday evening, 5 o'clock, it's going to be a summer summit on prayer. And I especially want to draw attention to this first one. There will be three, but I'm especially concerned with this first one. As a church, we need to seek God's leading for us in regards to prayer. Because one of the things that we learn from Ephesians, and one of the things that we can just like look through the experience of congregations, even back through history, is we cannot take prayer for granted. Or we can't just say, well, you know, yeah, we're supposed to pray and we do it this way and yeah, it's just the way things are. We cannot do that. And so, June 30th is really geared towards asking what the Holy Spirit is doing in our congregation, especially in regards to prayer. What is He showing us and what are we desiring? Now, one of the things I recognize is that as I say it, people may not feel qualified to speak to that. But I assure you, you very much are. And really asking people to come on that Sunday evening that we can sit down together and we've got some avenues in the conversation to invite people in to talk. And even more important than the input that we give is just the ability to slow down and listen to each other and listen to what the Holy Spirit may be saying through each other. Okay, we'll have more to say about that, but I really think that it's important for us to take time, ask what the Holy Spirit is showing us in prayer. I'd appreciate you prioritizing that and coming. Here at the end, invite us to pray together, and if you are able, let me invite you to kneel, okay? Our Father, we thank you for these words that have come down to us through the ages in Scripture that do wake us up to the reality that we live in, a world that is beset by spiritual forces. God, I pray that we would truly be convicted that our battle is not against flesh and blood. It is not against people, not against our brother or sister in the church, and not against a family member who irritates us or makes things difficult. Our battle is not against any public figure out there. Help us, God. Help us to remember that the battle that we truly fight against, that all of us fight against, is against rulers and authorities and forces and powers. Father, help us to see life in those terms. God, show us how you are maturing us in how we see. That we can see what your Holy Spirit is doing in us, how you are seeking to form us in maturity, in all ways in our character. But that also that we can see temptations when they come, that we can recognize them for what they are. That we not just accept anger that we have or bitterness, but that we recognize that it is a tool of evil that is used to undermine us. God, please help us turn to you again and again prayerfully Help us to seek the support of others when we are spiritually weak. Help us not to be ashamed to do that. And Father, in all this, we thank you that you have equipped us, that you give us all we need as we face the things that Satan throws at us. You are good. We thank you so much for your goodness through Jesus Christ and your ongoing work in the Holy Spirit. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand.